What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Adjacent. You're listening to the Sports Adjacent.
Okay, I like that. I just learned something new today. Adjacent.
With Jason Leisure and Russell Dorsey on the House of L Network.
We're doing everything I dreamed of as an adjacent.
This is a complete landmine. There's no way we should talk about this.
You're not actually saying it.
We are going to hear it so bad about telling people how many kids they should or shouldn't have. This is not
No, no, no. That's not what we're saying at all.
We're telling people where the where the levels of difficulty begin, like where that slope starts to come up and the level of difficulty comes up. Like, I'm not saying I would never tell people how many kids you should have.
Right.
I'm just telling you.
You're giving your personal opinion on what you think you could handle.
Right.
Actually, might tell some people how many kids they should have.
Well, some people should have zero kids. To be honest,
like, should go back and be like, "Hey, give those two back. Give those away. Those, you're not doing a good job there. Mm-mm. You're not doing a good job." I mean, I could just go to the grocery store and play that game, and be like, walk and see like a couple, and be like, "You could have one more," and then see the next one, and be like, "You should give that one to that other couple. Balance things out.
That shouldn't be yours anymore."
No, you're doing a bad job there.
I have two daughters, Grace and Anna. They have always been like brilliant kids, very well behaved kids, very good hearted kids. But there's been times, man, along the way, at every stage, every age, including currently when they're 10 and 12, also going back to when they're like 3 and 5, where I'm left with the two of them for some extended time. And it's like, I love them, but it's like too much. It's like trying to plug two different holes in a dam and you got to keep running back and forth. Like, you're taking care of one of them and then the other one's in a different part of the house crying because you don't love them because you're with the other one. And I'm like, what do I do?
I don't know how to tell you this, but it's that until you die.
It feels like it.
It's that until the day you die. I have three. Two are technically adults and there is not one day that goes by where there isn't a three ring, three alarm fire that you have to put out, ranging from that to like putting out the candle wick with your fingertips, you know, like a budding disaster. And I think that's forever.
So here's my question for you guys specifically, because you both have all girls. So do you think it's different because you guys have girls versus if you had boys where, like me and my brother, it's just the two of us. And other than once or twice ever, I don't think I've ever felt like, oh, mom and dad care about you more than they care about me. And it was over something stupid. Like my brother got to go to tutoring and I didn't get to go. And I thought that was like a bad thing that, oh, I don't got a tutor. That's not fair. Like, clearly love you more.
Yeah, that's
well, it could be that. Different. It could be a different type of problem. It could be, well, Russ fell and hurt himself trying to do chin-ups on the rafters in the basement, and Joe is shooting bottle rockets out the window in his room. Like, where do we go?
Right.
Like, it could be just the same problem, but different.
Who do we save?
The Sophie's choice. Russ's choice. Who do I save?
Oh, man. But no, I wonder if it's because you guys have girls.
I mean, I don't know what it's like to have a boy, but I know several things to be true, which is that when you pick up your kids from school and they're young and they all get in the car, it does not smell like sugar and spice and everything nice. It smells like feet and farts and sweat. Yeah. And I think that that is the same for boys. And that's whether they were playing sports or not. It was like you were in the wait in the pickup area and you came in the car and or maybe it was aftercare. You're there for a while. It doesn't matter. You come in and it's like sweat and farts. Yes. And so let me dispel that rumor right now. And my girls are always like, you know, they always dress cute and they're always looking cute and looking nice and everything else. But it's when they were little, it's those things are gender neutral. The disaster is gender neutral, I think.
Let me second that, because I grew up in a house of only boys. I grew up with two brothers. And so that's kind of what I knew. And then I had these, you know, this mythology of I'm like, oh, the girls will be like proper and, you know, polite and put together. And they're pretty good. My kids are pretty good. But there's definitely a few times, multiple times a week, I have to ask one of them, like, when is the last time you showered?
What is the smell?
Slash, did you brush your teeth? Slash, have those pants gone through the laundry? Because,
Yep. And I do the laundry, so I know what's been through the laundry for a while.
And I haven't seen those.
Yeah, and kids will do things like, my kids wear uniforms at school, which is, or my last one did, they did through part of school, or actually all of school. And it's like, you only have these number of things and it's easy to wash them. Just put them in the bin or just give them to me or, you know, they're doing their own. And sometimes they just don't want to do that. They just want to wear the same pair of dirty pants until the chub rub spot like wears to nothing and they smell and it's been weeks. And it's like, where have those pants been? It's like they've only worn those pants until there are no pants left. And then they wear a second pair of pants to replace them. And, and then you have to worry about having the stinky kid at school. Like, you know, nobody wants that. Nobody wants that phone call. Yeah. I've never got that call.
School related peer pressure is still happening as you're an adult because you're hearing about like, oh, yeah, you're the dad of the kid. My kid always says smells. Yeah.
The funky kid.
Funky kid. Yeah. The funky
peer pressure is generally a negative, but I will say it is fairly effective at solving some problems. There's some things my kids do where I'm like, if you had meaner friends, I think they would take care of this for me.
No.
Like I wouldn't have to say, you know, don't forget to put deodorant on because you'd get a bad nickname and then it would remind you be like, oh, I don't like being called Stink Pits Magoo or whatever. So I'm going to use my deodorant.
We're in the post-bully era now, Jason. Like we've solved racism. We've solved bullying. We've solved all these things now. So now you don't have to worry about your kid being called the stinky kid. We solved it. It doesn't happen anymore, right?
The stinky kid. Listen, if there's one thing that has definitely remained the same, it's the fact that school is going to teach your kids so much, good and bad. Right. Like you learn how to deal with different people. You learn how to make friends. You learn how to handle yourself when you lose friends. Like it's problem solving both in the classroom and out of the classroom. Like
it really is.
I wasn't a big school guy. Like I did fine, but it was just like I'd rather be somewhere else. But you definitely learn a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. You learn. Yeah. And that's, I think, why people in general just like worry about what school they're going to put their kid in. And that goes down a whole other rabbit hole, right? Because they feel like, oh, this school. And it's a little bit of offloading responsibility. Like, oh, I've got my kid in a good school or they go to a private school. And let me tell you, the place where you have to keep your eye on most, where you have to be the most awake is at a private school from experience. Both having gone to like a private Catholic school as a kid growing up and having my kids gone through private Catholic school, that's where you have to be most awake. Because you have like the kids who are veal, like, you know, they've been coddled. And then like the really alert kids whose parents have money and do not pay attention to what they're doing with said money. And those like that is a, you know, wolf and sheep right there. And the sheep quickly find out. So there's no answer, man. You got to you got to juggle all the balls with the kids. It's, you know, so I don't know how many is too many, but once you're, you know, once you're visiting the jail to bail one out, that's too many. That's definitely too many at that point.
How old were your kids at the time when you were, when you would have been a single dad, one trying to manage all three? Like, what age range are we first talking about there where you're having to try to figure out managing three of them by yourself?
I mean, I was, they, my kid, my youngest only knows basically having divorced parents, has no memory of it. So,
which is probably, basically the same for my life as well.
Yeah. So like two, four and six, or three, five and seven, like right in there. One, they were just turning age that summer. So it's, they're, you know, half the time, approximately half the time you're with them and you're like, you know, you have to plan for the, like you it's almost impossible. Like, you have to leave the house with like a Swiss Army brain, right? Like a Swiss
and
Army
you're,
knife
and
brain.
You're a good dad. You're like an intentional, like, you want to be a dad. Like, you're not one of these checked out dads. You're like, you really love your kids and want to do a good job. And you're trying to manage three of them. And like, you're not just going to be like, yeah, go run along, kids, while dad drinks a Miller Lite or whatever.
Yeah. Let me tell you about one of those juggling worst moments. And I don't know how I would have done it differently now. I don't know if this is, I really don't know. So my kids were little, they're all bicycle riding age, right? So the youngest was maybe, I don't know, seven. So you have like a 7, 9, and 11. That sounds about right.
Okay.
You know, give or take a year. Maybe it might have been eight, 10, 12. So we all ride bike about 2 miles down to the local bookstore. It's Books and Books. It's our independent local bookstore.
Big Miami thing, yeah.
Yeah, big Miami spot. So, and they have a great kids section. Although my kids, I hate to say, they love the Barnes & Noble kids section, because that section is amazing. Like, it is legit amazing. And we would just go spend hours there, like get some like non-caffeinated drink for them and coffee for me. And we'd hang out. We'd all read. It sounds more boring than it is, Russ. I promise.
No, I was
a
Borders family growing up.
Okay.
Yeah. So you're in his wheelhouse too. Like, you're talking to a smart kid in Russ.
Yeah. No. I was just saying, like, I didn't know if you were looking at me like that sounds way to entertain three kids.
That was my
kids.
Listening face. But no, I think Borders.
See, you
got to
work on your chemistry here with Russ, because I saw his eyes lighting up.
No. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Borders was cool.
Yeah. No. And again, it was one of Borders, like, his favorite things to do. You know, is go down to. So it was either Books and Books and Barnes and Noble. I can't remember which one. I think it was Books and Books. And we get there, and it's like a hot day, and it's, you know, it's a 2 mile ride, and they get there and they're exhausted. They're like red, you know, when like the kids are zero energy. And we get there, and I believe we order some food and some drinks. And I reach into my wallet and find there is no wallet. Reach into my pants and there's no wallet.
Oh no.
So I'm at the bookstore on bikes. Three kids, they're all little, and I have no money, and I have
to
pay this bill.
They're melting down.
Yes, and they're like at, you know, like hot. They're hot, and they're drinking their drinks and just recovering. So what do I do there? So here's what I did. So I took my oldest in charge, and I was like, listen, you're in charge. Y'all just stay right here.
You do not move from this spot.
You cannot move from this spot, or they will find me and they will jail me. I don't know if that's
true.
I was like, no, this is pre-phone. Yeah, this is like, you know, pre-phone in their lives. I guess some kid might have had it at 12 or whatever. And
there's
so,
no communication, though. You have to rely on one of them to watch the other two and be where you know where they're going to be.
Yes. While meanwhile, I go back, I jump on my bike, and I ride like Lance Armstrong record-breaking speed. I mean, like, with every performance enhancing drug, but that level of Lance Armstrong. Lance Armstrong.
Flying.
Yes. Flying home. Like, sweat that is both from the physical exertion and the, like, the adrenaline of, like, what is happening right now in the lives of my children.
Am I understanding this situation? Am I reading it correctly that you've left your kids as collateral, essentially?
Not even collateral. I'm like, I'm going to the bathroom. That's not even what I told them. I was like, y'all going to stay here. Oh, I'm going to go, and you guys are going to stay in this spot. And
don't look at me walk out the door. Don't even look at that part.
Right. So I leave, and I bike, and I grab my wallet, and I race back, and I am now like I'm pretty sure I just like tossed the bike like in the right in the into the rack, like yeah, like and running in, and they're all just sitting calmly, reading a book, drinking their drink. But like those, like, I don't know, 20 minutes maybe were like the most, I'm telling you about it now 10 years later, because they were the most, some of the most harrowing of my life in like that single parenthood. And I'm sure in the comments, people have 100 different ways to have resolved this. But sometimes, you know, when you're doing something for the first time and you have no time to consider it, that becomes the resolution.
So that's where my brain went, Carlos, and it's the reporter in me. Like, I think everything worked out. This was at a point in our society where I'm assuming you had a phone, yeah?
Yes.
Okay, so then I was my next question would be, could you have used that phone as the collateral?
But he would have had to make the kids who are like they're like on the brink of a behavior meltdown when they get like that. He would have had to ride back with those kids and then
and also
jail might be better.
Yeah, and there's been like things have been ordered, like food has been ordered, and if I leave them my phone, then I'm unreachable. So then I'm
also true. Also true.
Yeah, and you know at that age they all know their address and phone number and who to call and like. My dad said he'd be right back. So, yes, Russ, and that's what I'm telling you, that like we have reached the age that we are right now on so much luck of living like in a country where a 12-year-old can have a phone in their pocket. Like there's so many things that had to go right for us not to like meet a well-deserving terrible fate.
Yeah.
Because if we've done something dumb or, life takes a U-turn and you're like, well, should I take this avenue or this one? And one, you know, it's like choose your own adventure. One of them gets you killed. But nobody sees that coming. And it's like, I think about that all the time. There's all these near misses and, I check my pockets now before I leave the house. Even if I'm going for a walk around the block, like I literally will put my wallet with some form of currency, whether it's a card or cash, in my pocket, even if I walk outside the house, because I never know.
Yeah, the checklist, phone, wallet, keys.
Yep.
Stash an emergency 20 somewhere, maybe.
Yeah. Oh no, you got to carry cash. You got to carry cash. Some cash. You got to carry some cash.
I don't remember how the last time I had cash in hand.
Russ, Cream, you got it. Cash rules everything, right?
It does. But virtual cash rules everything around me.
Yes.
Get the money.
Until it doesn't.
Not wrong. What happens if my phone?
We have hit a point, though, where it's like if I do forget my wallet in the car, I feel like entitled that I shouldn't have to go back and get that. If you don't have some way for me to pay with my phone, like what are we doing?
That's did where I'm at. Travel? Like if you don't did have time Apple travel to get here,
is this
point?
Amish country? No.
If you don't have, even my barber has Apple Pay. Like what are we doing?
Yeah.
And that was the last place I was using cash. He was like, no, you can pay on your phone. I'm like, bet. No need to go to the ATM ever.
You ever buy street food? You ever buy stuff like we were in Chicago and there's a guy selling arepas like on the corner of Michigan?
In New York or something like that.
They have Square or something, don't they?
A lot of them do.
They gotta be cashless on that by now.
I like the old school abuelo
selling elotes. He's not gonna have
his great. Look, when I go get bread at the place behind my house, they get charged 3.5% fee.
Yeah,
which they then have to pass on to me if I use my card. But if I carry some cash, I buy the loaf of bread for $1.50, and then leaving out, there's the guy selling tamales on the corner.
Yeah,
and that guy's tamales are $4, so he does not carry Square. So, yeah. Cash still.
I get that.
Still need to have it. Still need to
I
have
will
it.
Do just what you just said. I, you are not getting the extra 2.5% out of me. Like, I will not do that. I will find the cash. I will see if I still have coins in my car. Every car, maybe they stop making them now, but you know, older cars, at least my car in 09 has a little like drawer for coins for tolls, which
the coin holder.
I don't know the last time I've ever used a coin holder in the car. I took
throwing coins into the toll basket is like an activity that
time. I kind of miss I'm kind of miss that. Cause I love, especially as I've gotten older and don't get to play actual sports, I love all of the games of trying to throw something in things. Like I love trying to throw a shirt into the hamper, a wadded up piece of paper into the trash can. I am like Greg Maddux of throwing tennis balls for my dog in the backyard. Like I can weave it through the tree branches and just over the, you know, just over the roof into the other part of the yard for the dog to go run around and get. Like I take pride in that. I do miss throwing coins into the basket.
But isn't it kind of like what isn't it like you're driving to work and then all of a sudden you have to stop to play a carnival game? It sounds like like I'm just
that's
going
a great
to work
way to describe tools.
But now it's like a biathlon of like
Plinko.
of working life. Now you have to stop and be like, oh, make that thing. You know, it's, if you miss it, then you're going to slow down everybody behind you. It's it was an odd time. It was an odd
thrilling
time. Explain it like that.
You're living on the edge. You're right. Living on the edge. Yeah,
any moment, I'd be a fool.
To Carlos's point earlier, I've been with a parent in the car where you thought you had quarters and you don't.
Oh, that's the worst.
Oh my,
that's
goodness.
The worst.
Yeah.
Oh, that is the worst when you and you're holding up.
And this is when the gate used to come down.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought about that in so long. You used to have to make sure you had coins. When I started driving when I was 16 in the year 2000, you had to make sure you had coins in the car. So like you'd run out, and you'd be like, I gotta go to the bank and get a roll
get
of quarters.
Some quarters.
I need coins.
Like stamps. I have stamps right in my drawer. And ask me the last time that I adhered a stamp to an envelope.
All right. So here's the thing. So I don't carry cash, but I have a book of stamps here in my office. Because it is the one of the things where you got to mail something out and you need stamps. So,
yeah,
stamps over cash.
Yeah. You got to load up because you got to load up on them because they keep going up, you know.
Yeah. And if you load up, I got the forever stamps. Stamp. So it says, you know, I bought it for whatever they were at the time, 37 cents. They're probably like 50 something cents now. It's like I'm sitting on gold mine stamps.
Those.
Yeah.
You could sell those on the black market, man.
Many ones of dollars.
Getting a profit. Go
and sell those for 45 cents. That'd be awesome.
They're like, this is an outrage. How dare you, sir? Sell me those stamps at such an egregious price. You want to send that? You want to send that FPL bill or not, buddy? I got a whole line of people here right behind me just waiting for me to give them their stamps so they can send their bills out.
Carlos, what's you live in Florida be? Too. You could rack up on the stamps. A lot of grandmas would buy stamps from.
That is true.
You're in the right market for that. Yeah. Hey, I got these forever stamps selling for, you know, 45%, little 8 cent per stamp profit or something.
Yeah.
And they're saving money. Everybody wins.
Yeah, that's true. I might try that, except going to a door-to-door to Florida might, it's not the best. You might not get the best reactions from people. Don't be knocking on people's doors.
You never know.
I'm selling stamps.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a clicking sound that I hear?
All right. Well, that took a dark turn. Yes, seems like a good time to start the show. Welcome to Sports Adjacent. I'm Jason Leisure with my co-host, Russ Dorsey. And we are in our Carlos Frias era because he's in for a fourth straight episode. What's going on, man?
Whoop, whoop. Happy to be here, bro. Happy to be here.
Fresh off a trip to Chicago in which the three of us actually hung out on St. Patrick's Day, which was it was great. It was great to see you guys. But Chicago was an absolute nightmare, in my opinion.
Pain in the ass.
St. Patrick's Day.
Like, yeah, I blame people like myself.
Like when they talk
about it, it's
definitely
Carlson's fault.
It is.
Well, I didn't realize that, by the way. So what I'm talking about, by the way, for those of you that don't know, like, okay, we have a lot of people that live in Chicago. Restaurants are crowded. We have traffic, like all of that. Mm-hmm. And parking is difficult. Mm-hmm. We have all that. And we get that. Like, don't live here if you're not on board with that.
Right.
We understand that that's like part of life. But it was like triple what it normally was, Russ, on Sunday. You're trying to get in just a normal, regular breakfast place, and it's like 2 hour wait.
Tell them the story of the 2 hour wait. You have to start a week prior with me saying, let's get us a reservation somewhere.
Everything is like, you pull up the directions on Google Maps and it's like 1.7 miles away. Oh, okay, good. 34 minutes. Oh, all right. And then probably another 34 to park. We were trying to make a plan. We were going to go to Little Goat Diner, which is a great spot in Chicago if you're ever here in town. And they don't take reservations for brunch. A lot of places don't take reservations for weekend brunch or breakfast, which is tough. Tough, especially for people like you, Russ, who you kind of almost have this thing of I don't go somewhere unless they take reservations.
I 100% factual.
Which I don't even take that as you being like, I'm too good to wait or something like that. I think like that is an option at most places. And you have just become accustomed to like, I don't want to deal with it unless I can schedule a time and be there at the time and know that I'm going to sit down at that time.
It's like the thing with the cash. Like I get it. I can't. And with our schedules, man, I just don't always have the time to give you an hour. I got 90 minutes to eat. I can't give you 90 minutes plus an hour and a half, 2 hours from where we were going to go to wait.
Also, I take it on myself. Like sometimes I feel like, hey, if I recommend the spot and we all go here and it turns out it's a 2 hour wait, then I feel like the bad guy. Not that Jason, you were the bad guy because
that's what I did. So you're saying I should feel bad and I don't at all.
I'm a good person and I do is what I'm saying.
So we were bouncing around places to eat earlier in the week. Where are we going to meet up on Sunday morning? And we threw out this place. They didn't take reservations. Russ immediately objected. And I said, don't worry about it.
I said, quote, I'm looking at the text. Jason said, it's going to be a 2 hour wait. And me and Carlos in the car.
No. That isn't. No. You wanted me to start at the beginning.
Okay. Go ahead.
That was when we actually get there. When we first suggested this idea, you guys were both on board. You guys both like Little Goat Diner.
Yes.
Carlos has been there before. Sure. You and I have been there plenty of times when it was on West Loop, in West Loop. And now it's like up by Wrigley Field. They moved. And they did. When we saw they didn't take reservations, you objected, is what I'm saying. I'm talking like Wednesday last week.
Yes, I said
you objected. You objected when you found out they don't take reservations. I'm sitting here thinking most places don't take reservations, in my experience, for Sunday like breakfast brunch. And I'm like, don't worry about it. I'll go early. I don't mind at all. I don't mind getting down there an hour early. I sit there, have a cup of coffee, whatever, mess around on my phone until you guys get there. The reason I don't feel bad is because I defend that as very reasonable, thinking if I get there an hour early, put us on the wait list, we'll be fine. Not the case at all. I get there and they're like, they say 2 hour wait. And so that's an immediate no-go for me as well.
By the way, we all agreed.
Wow, this has not been what I expected. Russ, well, I go in, find that out. Immediately just turn around like Homer Simpson or Abe Simpson, when he walks through the revolving doors and just comes right back out.
Right.
It's exactly like that. I'm like, nope. And then I'm like, wait a minute. What? Like, how is it a 2 hour wait? They don't take reservations. I'm looking around like there's no line outside. The restaurant's not crowded right now. Like, what is this? And so I go in and I'm like, listen, I'm not angry about this, but I don't understand.
I just want to understand better.
Yeah. Help me as though, explain to me like I'm six, because you're telling me there's a 2 hour wait. I see almost no people waiting around. In fact, I see literally zero people waiting around. Are you telling me that is 2 hour wait? Those are all people that have come in and given their phone number or something and put themselves on a wait list. That's all walk-ins. And they're like, yes, that's correct.
So can we stop and be inside the head of the person that you're speaking to when they see you walk out and come back in? What's going through that person's mind at that moment?
Probably I'm going to be enraged. Oh. Yeah, I'm pretty level.
No, you're not an enraged type of person.
I wasn't giving fury in this situation.
I like how you worked in the thing the kids are saying. You were giving. You were giving.
Yes. It's giving.
It's giving.
Yeah, that's how that's how young people like us talk, Carlos.
Good. Okay. All right.
Us young people. Sean, like you're telling me, like, I gotta, if I ever want to eat here on a weekend, I should come in 2 hours before I want to eat and get my phone number and then just like go to a museum or something and find something to do or go back home. And they're like, well, you know, it's not usually this bad. And that actually turned out to be correct, because as we progressed around the city in our like basically non-eating version of a restaurant tour throughout Chicago, from like varied all over the place, all different neighborhoods, because Russ is immediately like, all right, let's try this other place. And I'm guessing I wasn't familiar with the place you suggested, but I'm guessing you threw it out there because you're like, OK, this would probably be easy. There's no way it's going to be crazy at this place. There was a crowd outside the door there.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was like as if they were, giving out $100 bills inside. Everybody was waiting. You couldn't. Russ, when I walked in and could barely get through the restaurant at Ann Sather's, and just to try to find out, like, where is the person in charge? How do I get my name on a list? As soon as I saw it from 50 yards away, I'm like, this is not going to happen. But I at least want to find out what the actual wait time is so I can tell Russ and Carlos. I couldn't even, like, I gave up. I was walking around trying to, like, squirming around through people in the restaurant, trying to find whoever's taking names, and just to find out how long it was going to be. And I was like, just forget it. There was like a line just to give your name. I'm out.
And I think to give people context, the reason that it was like this probably is because of St. Patrick's Day. So, like, if you're listening to this outside of Chicago and you have no idea what we're talking about, right? Like, is it the Saturday before St. Patrick's Day? Or is this that Saturday they dye the river green? Mm-hmm.
Parade is always that day too, I think.
And yes. But then they do something on Sunday too, I think. You guys would know better than me.
Just think Sunday, with the way everything fell, where it was actually St. Patrick's Day, so everybody's like, all right, let's just go still get hammered today.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. And believe me, but from my hotel, it was near the hospital down off Michigan. And there were a lot of people paying the toll the night after the dying of the river. And so, like, it was filled with people, but none of those people, especially because they die the river at 10. So people are like, the number of people that are going to get hammered by 10 o'clock is going to be fewer, I think, than if you did it like at 4. And I think that's a brilliant move by the city. But like, people, it was full, but nobody was acting a fool other than those kids I mentioned, Russ.
Yes.
Other than those kids in the...
Yo, those kids were wilding. But yeah, we can't talk about
it. I'll just say it was a big group of white kids in like Celtic uniforms, and they were very liberal with the use of the N-word calling each other my brethren. Dude. Come here, my brethren. And they were not... They were not of the brethren community. They were not of the brethren community, and they are not allowed to use that word. No. And I was like, I looked at my fiance and I was like, I'm just going to keep walking. Yeah. I'm going to keep walking because
I'll have a word with the other whites about that. Sorry.
Yeah. Please do. At the meeting.
At the anyway, white so people.
No. We don't have those meetings. No.
It's been brought to my attention.
Don't start painting it that
by my minority friends.
No.
There is, though.
But anyway, the people were generally well behaved insofar as I didn't see any punches thrown, and nobody was like going, oi, oi. You know what I mean? So, but there were a lot of people in town. So I think that gummed up the works and why we were then on the hunt for places to meet. But it was great. It was totally, I would do it again. It was fun.
Well, I had to tell Jason that he didn't know that people come to the city specifically for St. Patrick's Day. People are flying in for that.
I was so surprised to hear at first that Carlos was doing that, and then to find out from you that that is extremely common, that people come to Chicago for St. Patrick's Day, because Chicago can be kind of nuts on its own
as far as the number of people doing.
Yeah, it's a huge city. It's the third biggest city in the country. It's going to happen. But I was not aware that people come to Chicago for really anything in the bad weather months. And we've had like an okay winter. It was, and I think Sunday when we were out, the three of us,
nice.
It's probably 50 and sunny, which is like great. That's like B+, A- weather for Chicago this time of year. But also, it could have been like 25 in a blizzard. So like I was not aware of people wanting to come to Chicago as tourists, A, for St. Patrick's Day, or B, for anything outside of the really, really prime weather months.
And I honestly think the fact that it was so nice definitely contributed even more so to, oh, shit, it's nice. Let's go outside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Help. Yeah. You know,
we got great pictures by the river.
Saturday was the big day. Saturday was like day drink all day for the entire city. And if that's what you spent your Saturday doing, it's logical then that you would be kind of waking up looking for a good breakfast at about 11 or 12 the next day. I think that's the problem that we ran into right there.
Yeah, the brunch and even brunch spot, because, you know, folks are not even getting out of bed at 11. So like if they're getting to the restaurant at 1 to 2.
Yeah.
Yeah. We were up against forces much stronger than all of us. Yeah.
Sports Jason is brought to you by Sheets and Giggles. You can use our link, sheetsgiggles.com/SA. You can take advantage of their sleep month sale, but if you use our link, you're going to get an extra 10% discount off anything you get there. The sheet set, the pillow, the mattress, the duvet cover, everything. Carlos, you finally, once you got back, finally got a chance to sleep on your Sheets and Giggles?
I have not slept on the sheets yet. I did not. It was one of the homework assignments that I had for this episode, and I didn't do it.
Fail.
But they're fold, like they're washed and folded and ready to go on the bed. But it was like, I don't know, man. You know, after a trip, 4 days.
I
you
know
laundry
after
to
a
do.
Trip.
Gotta Carlos. Do laundry. Gotta.
Yeah, I do. I do remember this.
Pick up the dog.
I know exactly what all that is like, which is exactly why I told you to put those sheets on right before you left. Do you remember this conversation?
I didn't do it. I remember that, and I didn't do it.
It's your own fault, man. All right.
And I said I was going to do it, and then I did not do it.
You know. Okay. As Russ likes to say anytime, you know, you did this to yourself.
I know. You're right. I can say, though, that the pillow has become my new favorite pillow. It's like my favorite style of pillow that came. I will say it's pretty great. It's pretty great, even with like the, you know, standard sheets on it or whatever. So I'll give it love.
Russ, do you sleep on that pillow? Comes pretty stuffed. Do you sleep on that full pillow or did you adjust it?
I only took out a little bit of the filling. I like that it's full, but I'm super specific about my pillows. It's like I got to have the softer pillow in the front and then the more full pillows in the back. And so that has become the back pillow that like over the course of the night, I'm going to flip because one, I hate when my pillows get hot. So then I got to flip the pillow. I'll grab it and then the rest of my sleep will be on that pillow. It's a whole process.
I probably took a good like 20% out because it comes with a little tote. A little sack or something that you can put the extra in and then you can adjust it back if you want. But it's like customizable is the idea. And I got it to right where I want it to be. It's perfect.
Right.
I don't like a pillow that's too smushy. So I like having a fuller pillow like other things in my life.
Oh, okay. Like other things in my life. Okay.
All right. Uh-huh. We're going to leave that there?
So,
okay.
So if you want to get a pillow, you can have it.
I forget Russ's mom and dad watch this. So we're going to leave it right there.
Oh, yeah. Yes, they do.
Too sexy, Carlos.
Yes.
Too sexy.
Russ. Yes. Yes, Russ's parents listen to this, and we often get feedback from them, and they often are amazed by the things they learn. Not about the world so much, but more about Russell.
Yeah, the world through the eyes of the son that they have raised.
And it's funny, to our point earlier, I think my parents know me pretty well. Like I'm excited this year we're gonna have them on the pod and talk about them or talk to them about me probably.
Oh, amazing.
And I feel like they're gonna know me, but I imagine they've learned one or two things about me while listening to this podcast.
They always at least seemed kind of you know, amused by it.
They are definitely amused. I think they're like your wife, where as long as it's funny. No, as long as it's funny, I think they're pretty game for whatever.
Okay. Right. Go to sheetsgiggles.com. Yeah,
that was that one time that I was going down a back alley and had a needle in my arm.
That part.
But I didn't tell that to anybody, my parents.
They would not be amused if that happened.
Yeah, they would not be amused. But I think I'm guessing you guys have not gone there.
If it was just like, yeah, so then I did crack like that, I don't think they would.
I did not know that.
Also,
about
mom and dad have never done crack.
Okay. Yes. Do we have to say that? Okay.
Well, I feel like you do. Like, just like, I know we're joking, but just in case anybody just took that seriously,
it's helpful.
Never done crack.
My parents also, as far as I know, never did crack, as far as I know. Listen, I can only say as far as I know. They were not on a podcast where they revealed that. So I, you know, can't say.
To the best of my knowledge. Go to Sports Adjacent. Go to sheetsgiggles.com/SA. Get the extra 10% off on top of their Sleep Month sale, which runs all of March. Sports Adjacent is also brought to you by BetMGM. You can go to betmgm.com or download the BetMGM app. Use our promo code adjacent1000 and get this offer. Your first bet with them gets paid back in free future betting credits up to $1,500 if you don't win. NCAA tournament will be going full throttle by the time you guys get this episode on Friday. Use our promo code adjacent1000. BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. I have a few other things I want to talk to you guys about, but I feel like, Russ, we probably need to kind of hit the elephant in the room here that we've gone a month now without Tony on the show.
You know what's great about, or like funny about you saying that? I was going to send you a text this morning that said, yeah, at some point we need to address what's going on with Tone.
I feel like we need to start everything with real quick up front. Like, there's nothing's wrong. Everything's
cool.
He's
like physically fine.
Yeah, and we're fine with, there's no like problem or anything.
No,
like,
no beef,
I feel like anytime you kind of set up something like this, you need to, whether it's like on here or when you're talking to your wife or something, you need to start right off the bat with everything's fine. Yeah. This is not like an emergency or a problem or anything, but you probably, I'm sure everyone has noticed that
I've been
Tony
asked.
Has not been on for the last month. I think the last time he was on was probably him admitting very proudly to parking in handicap spots everywhere. And not seeing the problem with that whatsoever, as Maddie Lee and I pointed that out to him repeatedly. And it started as, don't worry, I only do it when I run into the Jewels to get a couple things. And I'm probably in and out in like 3 minutes, which is just not true. There is no such thing as in and out in 3 minutes of any place, practically. And then it eventually kind of rolled along to, yeah, I would do that at Woodfield Mall, too. So more like a 2 hour. Wouldn't do it going to a movie, if I remember correctly. Tony is still involved in the show. He's been working behind the scenes. He has had a lot of scheduling conflicts. You guys got to remember, like, if you've been listening to this show, we've been on for over 3 years. The Tony Gill back in episodes 1 through 10 is a different Tony Gill than what you get in the last right now.
When we started the podcast, Tony was like going on dates with like FBI agents and et cetera. And then he meets his wife in that process. And then they have a kid. So in 2 years, he's gotten a spouse and a child. And so there's been a lot of life change for Tone in the last 24 months. And as you guys know, like, hey, man, things happen in life that you have to adjust. And one of those adjustments for Tone is he's going to have to pull back on the pod. And we love Tone, and we completely understood that. There is no beef, bad blood. We want what's best for Tone, and Tone wants to do what's right by his family. I always joke, I call him Family Man Tone, because that's who he is. And so... Tone,
it's not who he was at the start.
No, it's not. He was a single man Tone.
Quite a growth.
Now Family Man Tone. So Tone's going to take a step back from the podcast, but he is always welcome back when he has an opportunity. You never know what's going to happen in the future.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But for right now, that's the situation with Tone.
Yeah, we're definitely going to have him on whenever it works out. But all those things that Russ mentioned, he's got a new baby. Him and his wife are both pretty successful professionals that have a lot of other responsibilities. And for all of us, this is doing this podcast is our second, third, or fourth job We're trying to manage a bunch of different things. And Russ, someday you'll see, like, the more schedules you got to cross match in your house, the tougher it gets. We're working with five different schedules in our house right now, and it's not easy. And then you've got to, in something like this, then we've got to sit here and I've got to say, okay, what is like the one window of the week that works for me? Hopefully it works for Russ. Hopefully it works for Tony. Hopefully it works for Carlos Frias, Chris Cody, Cam Wolf, whoever is on with
her power.
Holmes. Yeah. Hopefully it works for them. It's, you're really trying to like thread the needle on a lot of this. And it's very difficult. Tone still does all the behind the scenes. So when you listen to the show and you're like, whoa, that show's like, I like Russ and Jason, but that show also is very well produced. That's Tone. And he has consistently been great at that in some ways that maybe you notice, some ways you don't notice. He does all our production, all our intro work, stuff like that.
The drops.
The intro you hear to the show every week. We're going to play Are You a Real One with Carlos Frias. You'll hear the intro that he created for that because you guys haven't heard that in a while. We haven't done that in a little while. I would say, Russ, just one thing that I want to say about the quality of work that he does, that Tony does, that people oftentimes aren't aware of if they're not hearing him on the mic, or even the episodes you do hear him on the mic, you don't probably know this. Like, we record this and we kind of know how it went. And then we get an edited, produced version of it the next day from Tony to listen to and sign off on. It's always better. However good I thought the recording went, then when I listen to it, it's better. If I thought the recording didn't go great, if I thought it was kind of bad, then I listened to what his edit the next day. I'm like, okay, all right, that's okay. If we have the recording and I'm like, that was really good. Then I hear the edit and I'm like, this is great. This is awesome. Like, Tony is a huge part of what goes on here and what will continue to go on here, whether he's on mic or not.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator. What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Normally Tony plays all these drops.
And you have the button?
I have it. I found it.
Hit the button, Jason.
It's not that easy. It's not that easy to be on top of all this. All the time I was so hard on Tony about all this.
No, it should be easier for him than it is for you because you're like also hosting. And he would like forget. And it's like his job.
Maybe possibly a good point. Go ahead, though. Go ahead. You can say it. Go ahead. Tell me.
Hit the button, Jason.
Maybe this is a new segment. Maybe we bring somebody on and
who is a real
and 5 minutes of finding out. We're just investigating. Are you a real one?
Are you a real one?
Nick Saban, head coach of the Dolphins, and
real one.
Yes.
The segment where we find out about your innermost being.
You know, people lie. You know, they could say that they're a real one, But the evidence could say the otherwise, that they are not a real one.
I sense real one traits here.
So, are you a real one?
Oh, no, baby. You're not a real one.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. That's a lot of pressure. That little music gets me like, gets like my heart going. The music does get
you hype.
It does get me hype, man.
I love that little drop in by Grandma Russ at the end. I miss Grandma Russ.
R.I.P.
Grandma Russ is like, she comes out very sparingly. It's a hilarious character that Russ, for some reason, doesn't like to do. No. But it's very fun. It's always like, it's always a combination of telling, it's insult, it's insulting, but reassuring. It's like telling somebody something that they need to realize about themselves, but in like a very kind and gentle and reassuring way.
Oh, that is sweet. I was thinking of like Larry Johnson, Grandmama, but.
No. It's more like what I'm describing.
Russ may not have a
when Larry Johnson was on the Hornets, that was his alter ego.
Okay. All right.
And then it got a little bit sexual when we were discussing Tom Brady, Grandma Russ.
Oh,
they took it there. And then I didn't want to let the joke miss, so I just played
Grandma,
it.
Grandma Russ said something about hadn't gotten her hip broken yet, and it was we found out Grandma Russ's brand.
Oh, man. Grandma Russ, she's a woman after all.
All right, Carlos. So you need to understand what you're getting into here. I don't want you to feel as though you're on trial here, but you are, basically. We are going to find out if you are a real one or not. A lot of people have played this game with us over the last 6 months. Some real ones, some not real ones. Some people you'll get the benefit of finding out. You'll get to listen in on our deliberations, unlike most people. Most people just find out when the episode comes out Friday, and then they're horrified to learn that they are not a real one.
I'm ready.
Not a real one.
I am who I am.
I think Russ has kind of determined I'm not a real one, mostly because I just like don't want to fight anybody. I'm not out.
Okay. Here's the thing, though, and I have to tell this to every guest. Okay. It's like I gave Jason a scenario where a big swole dude, he's in the grocery store, so it'd be Publix for you or Jewel for us. And dude slaps his wife on the ass. What are you going to do? And he said, like, I'm going to, like, change aisles. Like, what are you talking about, bro? That's your
claim. No, I said we would file a police report.
See what I mean?
Yeah, it's I don't know, man. I think you just have to, like, you know, you got to throw your face at it. You know, you got to just be like, all right, this guy's probably going to hurt me a little bit, but I got to look at my wife the next day. Like, you know what I mean? I got to look at her the next day.
That's nice. I already went through this. You're the one that is being in the crosshairs today. So
I'm not on trial, sir.
Start us out with an example of how you are a real one.
All right. So I think that the category of most real one, it could be fighting. Could be fighting. But I think the category of real one that everyone can relate to is helping someone move. Someone that you love or that loves you asks you to move, that is your test of am I a real one? That's what I
think. But not if it's your kid or a love interest.
Interesting.
It's gotta like
no,
if it's a love interest, you have other motivation, like
your brother
to be
your brother.
Like, would you help me move?
My brother, I said, like my brother needed help moving. He was moving from like a 4-bedroom house, 3-bathroom house to a 2-bedroom, 1-bath condo. So that meant not just moving everything, but then moving to 2 locations. That is the storage
facility. That's not going to fit.
The storage facility and the house and the decisions of what goes to Salvation Army, that it becomes a sweaty, dirty, day long, like an 18-hour day process. I helped my brother move 2 years ago with my old man self, and I think that qualifies me as a real one.
Yeah, I mean, you're taking on a big project in that case too. It's not just like hauling boxes. That I can usually do. I'm usually fine with. I showed up to help somebody move once, and they hadn't finished packing, and I was like, "What is this? Call me when you're a serious person."
Yeah, that's that person is not a real one.
I'm not a real one.
No, they're not a real one. Isn't my interesting thing about this topic? Because I think it's one of the things that happen in life where you have one or two sides of it. You have the people like Carlos who say, you know, I'll be willing to help you. And I do think that that is real, a real trait. However, I always say, and I know this is privileged in some ways, you should always, and I mean always, hire movers. Like the idea, of, oh yeah, I'm gonna just get three or four of my buddies and get some pizza and beer. And no, absolutely not. And Carlos, I think
if you're choosing that option over the option of hiring movers,
right,
not everyone has the option.
I told this to Jason, where being the friend that's in the gym, I have been asked more than I'd like to admit. Hey man, would you be no? And I always say no. And I'm I consider myself a really good friend, but I'm always, if Jason asked me to move right now, I would say, buddy, I love you. Absolutely not.
Well, I will
say, well, you loving me doesn't help me get these boxes to the new house. Thanks.
I'd be like, you're right.
I will say so my brother also had movers. So what he needed help with was the packing, the separation, the organizing, what goes where, and then the packing.
That's because, worse. You know, that's more work. Yes, that's worse work than worse. Just carrying stuff.
But when your friend, your important person in your life asks you to move, they don't tell you, but they're asking you for that too. When you show up, it's not just clean boxes and you move them to the truck and the truck to the house. That never happens like that. Well, how many times does it happen? It never happens like that.
It was like, it's Carlos, always, I need you to unpack.
I'm almost done. I'm almost done. And you peek past their door and they are not almost done. They are almost starting.
I don't even do that when I move.
Yeah. So you asked me, like, when was I not a real one?
Yeah, well, that's, we need two things to weigh here. You know, like the scale of justice, we need like one on each side so we can weigh them. So be honest, like, what's a scenario or an example of you not being a real one?
I have a friend who he and I have been friends for, since we were 19. We became journalists together and he asked me for help moving. And I shut him down. I told him, no, I know I'm busy that day. I can't really make it. I came up with the lame excuse because I knew that, like, I knew we could hire some movers. And like, we are both old now. We are both the same age. And after a day of that kind of work, I'm going to be out for 3 days with like sore everything. So I was not a real one. And I was like, no, man, I'd love to help you, but I got something going on that day. I can't help you out. So,
okay. That's the part of it that's not a real one. You not wanting to help move is kind of okay. That's in the middle of the spectrum. That's fine. You lying to get out of it is where I say you're not a real one. Because Russ, is being kind of a jerk, but he's like, he's not hiding anything. He's saying, no, I don't want to help you move. You're making up some kind of piano recital that you got to go to. That's not a real one. Okay.
Yeah. I admit to it. Like, that was a case where I should have gone. I would not have helped him move. I'm too old for that. Get a moving company. You're a professional. You're old. Take money out of the bank. If you have it, put the money towards that for someone to help you. But that I can't do it for pizza and beer at that age, and I should have said, this is crazy. I love you, but I can't. But I won't, rather. But I said I can't because I'm busy. So.
Let's hear what
I leave it to the judges.
Well, let's hear what the prosecutors got for you here, Carlos.
Well, listen, I'm with counselor to my left here. I agree that saying no, that you didn't want to do it, is not an inherently unreal one, not real one quality. I think it's honest, and being honesty is a real one quality. But it is the fact that you weren't honest and didn't just come out and say, I'd rather not help you move. I have a bad back. That could have been the case or something like that. Like, I would like much more if you had said that than the, I got something going on. However, if I'm weighing everything here, I think it's the fact that you helped your brother move, whether you, because that other story had happened when you helped your brother move, right?
Right.
Exactly. Right. So I think a real one quality is doing something that you don't want to do because you know you need to do it. And for that reason, I consider Carlos a real one.
Oh, you just decided right now. You don't. I thought you were going to ask him, like, when's the last time he got in a fight?
No. I was cool because I think this specific topic is a really good way to find out if somebody's a real one. And he gave us both sides of it already. And I just think the fact that that story of him not being a real one had happened already when his brother asked him. So he could have done the same thing twice. He said, ah, man, I got something going on. But he said, all right, this is my brother. I don't necessarily want to help him move. And he has a lot more for me than what he said he did. But I'm going to help my guy out and help him move.
I have I have a bunch of evidence to enter. It's all going to be in his favor, though, because I've known him for like 20 years and he's someone that I admire and am very happy to have and grateful to have their friendship. But when I was an intern in South Florida, Carlos was already very well established and very well regarded locally and beyond as a great writer. And Carlos gave time to me to help teach me some of what he knew. And I don't just mean like, hey, I'll forward you this draft of a story or the story that already ran and you give me some feedback on it, stuff like that. Or let's, you know, text or something. Like, I'm talking about this guy, like, would come into the office and sit with me for an hour. And like now, not being, you know, 22 and childless, now I know, oh, that's like, that's not easy. Those hours are valuable. It's hard to give up those hours. And then if you fast forward, like, I don't know, 10 years from there, I'm still in South Florida. My second daughter has just been born. Carlos and his kids show up at my house in January after my daughter's born with chicken and beer. Like, we know you guys got a lot going on. Like, you know, you had a new baby. Here's some chicken and beer, which is like perfect because it's great. People try to help you. People
also
nice
the name of a Ludacris album.
Yes. And I think he's got a restaurant called that in, is it Dallas? One of the airports? L.A.? I think it might or be Atlanta. I can't remember. I don't know if they've got that in Atlanta. Maybe. You would think they would.
Right.
But I think I've seen that multiple places. Yeah. Ludacris doing well for himself. But like a lot of people will bring you food after you have a baby or when you have a medical situation or something in the house. And it's all very appreciated. I don't want to come off ungrateful. But a lot of it's casserole. It's great when somebody brings over chicken and beer. They're like, here you go. I know what you actually wanted. I know what you would have actually got for yourself. Here you go.
Yeah, we don't make healthy food. That's not what you want at that moment. Your brain needs the fat and the calories, and it needs the alcohol. It needs
especially if it was probably Publix chicken.
Oh, maybe Publix chicken is so no, it was from Whole Foods, I think, but still good. Oh, still good. Yeah, Carlos is kind of bougie like that.
Yeah.
All right. I would say for those and many, many other reasons, I will rule that I will agree with my co-counsel here / co-judge. We have the roles all mixed up here. That Carlos is, in fact, a real one. And I will also admit I have no idea how to play the imaging for that. So Tony has to put it in later.
That is totally fine. We're learning on the fly here.
Russ, you want to continue our ongoing series of breaking down mid-2010s Denzel Washington movies?
I think people thoroughly enjoyed our flight breakdown.
I did.
Last week. I also did. Like, I thought it was hilarious.
I had a great time with it.
The binge, the bump, and the baddie gave us the name for the podcast. Like, it was fantastic. So we just decided, all right, what Denzel movie are we breaking down this week? And I had the thought of, let's not get one of, you know, Glory or one of the Training Day or anything. Let's go to the later Denzel catalog, right? Like when he's just like, I want to do for fun. Who do I want to work with for fun? And I said, let's do Two Guns, a later Denzel movie. I don't know if everybody's seen it.
I had not.
It's an action movie with comedy, and you know, Denzel's not really comedy guy, with Mark Wahlberg as his co-star in there. I had seen it before. Jason and Carlos had not. So I want to hear you guys' review on it, and then we can get into the breakdown.
We were looking through – Flight was 2012, and we were kind of looking through that era of Denzel Washington.
This is a little later.
You got – right around that time, you got The Taking of Pelham 1-2-3, Book of Eli, yeah. Unstoppable, Safe House, Two Guns, The Equalizer, which you described how, Carlos? Remind me.
Oh, did I describe – I forget. I saw The Equalizer 2.
I think you described it as – well, I haven't seen either one, but I'm guessing they're very similar.
Oh, I love Equalizer.
Carlos described it as watching his dad fight crime, I think, or something.
It was like that.
I mean, it's Black John Wick. If that makes
sense. Yeah, but John, but he looks. I'm talking about two. I didn't see one, but he looks old. Whereas Keanu doesn't look old.
They make Denzel look a little older in these movies. However, I think for so long in his life, he was the young gun actor. Like, he was the Michael B. Jordan, and I don't want to disrespect Denzel because of his day in terms of, like, the look and, like, he was a lady killer and all that. And you see Denzel now, it's like, damn, Denzel is old. Like, and so, yes, I understand him be like, oh, it's my dad fighting, but also he be kicking ass in there.
He do be, but I remember. Do you remember the original show? Russ, I just killed him.
He do be. Oh man!
Do you remember the original Equalizer show?
No. The only one I know is the one with Queen Latifah. That's on CBS.
No.
I don't know anything about any of this.
It was like Knight Rider era, like Knight Rider.
No, it's still doing nothing for me. No,
is that with David Hasselhoff?
Yes, David Hasselhoff and the robot car.
Yes,
and the indestructible robot car. Right in that era, you had the Equalizer, which was I want to say it's Michael Caine.
From Batman, Alfred.
Yes, and he is fighting. Yes, okay, it is. It is. A former CIA spy is now a private investigator that helps out clients with problems that are beyond the normal authorities in The Equalizer. And I don't believe it was Michael Caine, but no, it wasn't Michael Caine. It was an old white guy that looks just like him. Robert Edward was the guy's name. Edward Woodward was the guy's name. And he fights. Listen, he goes out. And somebody comes to him with a problem. It was like the A-Team, but it was just one guy. And he would like go and fix the problem. He would go and like beat up the bad guys. And again, this guy was already old, white-haired, receding hairline. I mean, you think I look bad? I mean, that it was like he was not – it was not a great – it was not believable. But somehow it was enthralling TV. And that's how I felt about like the Denzel Equalizer. Like I was like, I'm not sure I believe, you know, dad kicking all this ass. But I enjoy the Denzel acting where he brings his own flash, you know, and totally enjoyable. And I think that's what I liked about Two Guns. I got to say, I enjoyed it.
Two Guns is 2013, so the year after Flight. It's Denzel and Mark Wahlberg, and then it's also got Paula Patton, Bill Paxton, James Marsden, Edward James almost. Yeah, there's a bedroom scene with Paula Patton 15 minutes in. I jotted down, and now I know why Russ had us watch this movie.
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, Paula Patton was fine outside of that scene, but it was the first time you see Paula Patton in that way, and it's like, oh, man, everything that I thought was true. You know what I mean?
I actually thought this was a good... I liked this movie a lot. I was surprised.
See, I told you. I said that. I said you're gonna like this movie.
I was gonna say it was surprisingly good, but I don't mean that to sound as insulting as it came out. I thought it was gonna be a comedy, and so I thought, okay, we're gonna see. You know, it's like I think I'd read a description somewhere that it was a buddy cop movie. So I'm thinking this is gonna be like Will Ferrell and Kevin Hart or something like that. But when I say it was surprisingly good, it was actually a good movie. Like if they hadn't made it funny at all, like the plot was actually good. And one thing that I really liked in it, Russ, is Denzel's really funny. And Denzel plays the kind of cocky action hero main character role really, really well in that movie. He's very funny in that movie. And one thing I feel like is always underappreciated is great comedic acting. It's not just like burp and fart jokes, you know, Jim Carrey making his butt talk or whatever. Like, you have to be a good actor like Denzel Washington. Steve Carell is a really funny actor because he's a good actor. The people that are really the funniest actors are really good at acting.
Yeah, I thought about that too. You know, he just delivers his lines that are funny. He's not like, hey, everybody, look, I'm going to say a funny line now. Like, he just says it like deadpan, and it comes out of his character in the most natural way. And I think that's why he's so good at it. And then like Marky Mark is always Marky Mark. Mark Wahlberg is always say hello to your mother for me. You know what I mean? He's always in every movie, say hello to your mother for me. And it's like, and then he maybe kicks some ass, you know, there's some ass kicking involved. He's the tough guy.
He was better in that movie than he usually is. I liked him. I actually liked him in the movie, and I'm not usually like in love with Mark Wahlberg's performances.
They played well, very, very well together. And that's not a pairing that you wouldn't think of, right? Which is why one of the reasons I actually really enjoyed that movie, because you're not thinking Denzel and Mark Wahlberg, but it works. And I do think having Mark Wahlberg be the co-star, it allowed Denzel to be like, all right, this doesn't have to be Academy Award winning. I can have fun with this role. And it definitely shows. And then one other thing I have with Denzel movies, talk about the baddie in Flight. There's always going to be a baddie in a Denzel Washington movie. I don't care if it's Paula Patton or Eva Mendes, or like it's going to be somebody fine every time.
He just goes through the scripts that get sent to him, and he actually just tells his agent, just send me the ones with Hottie in it, period.
Who's the love interest in here? Yeah. No, let's do that.
Let's do that. Great.
Denzel's going to be, he's going to be in the sequel to Gladiator. He's going to be in Gladiator 2 coming out at the end of this year.
I saw that. Is he going to be the Gladiator? He's too old, bro.
I don't think so.
I hate to be that guy. Don't be the Gladiator.
Denzel is 69 years old. He'll be 70 at the end of this year. On Wikipedia, they describe his role in Gladiator 2 as, quote, a former slave turned wealthy arms and commodity dealer with a grudge against the emperors. So that sounds fun.
Okay. It sounds like the guy that quote unquote owned Russell, what's her name?
Russell Crowe.
In the first one, remember the guy that's like he's like the master of all the gladiator fights, like the little league ones, like the lower level, the double A gladiator fights.
Double A is crazy.
The gladiator double A. He's the manager of the gladiator double A teams.
Oh man.
I think that's who Denzel might be in the next one. And that makes sense.
Gladiator 2 doesn't, by the way. Well, he doesn't look like he's in this. I mean, okay. He got killed in it in the first one, didn't he?
He died.
Yeah. This doesn't look like it's any kind of continuation of the first one, according to Wikipedia.
And how can you call it two?
Set 15 years after the death of Commodus and General Maximus, is set to include the Praetorian Guards ruling Rome and older-aged Lucius, son of Lucilla, searching for the truth about his biological father, who might have been Maximus.
Oh. A little retconning there, maybe?
So. Basically, I just want to make a new gladiator, pretty much.
Yeah.
And then they'd be like, this guy, maybe his dad was Maximus. We don't know.
Yeah, it's Gladiator 200. This is also Gladiator.
I tried to watch Two Guns. I tried to get it at the library, which is where I usually get DVDs. It was not on any of the streaming services, man. It was not on any of the streaming services. You said it was on HBO, and it was not on HBO.
It was when I watched it last, which was like 2 months ago.
Well, you owe me $4 because I couldn't get it at the library, so I had to rent it on Apple Plus.
Something. We support Apple TV Plus, where you can find Russ Dorsey on Friday.
I did support it
every Friday. Every Friday, including this upcoming Friday, or it would be next Friday, Dodgers taking on the Cardinals in LA. I'll be there.
We'll check it out.
This Friday, like when this episode comes out?
No, next Friday.
Next
when one. Opening, okay. Like week of opening day.
Well, because they played a game today, right?
Yes.
The Dodgers
which is
Dodgers
technically play, opening a, day.
In that, Korea, that's a yeah. regular season game. That's a game that counts.
Yes, that game counts. Okay.
All right.
But yeah, I liked the scene in that movie where like the two driver's side cars that Marky Mark and Denzel are in kind of end up next to each other. And Marky Mark jumps through the, like they do a Jackie Chan fight scene. Marky Mark jumps through the one window into the other and they have this close quarter fight. And it's like, that was really fun. I was like, oh, this is a Jackie Chan torn out of his page of his notebook. So I like that. I was down with it. And my favorite line, can I say my favorite line?
Please.
Edward James Olmos's last line in the movie. Mow my lawn. He tells Marky Mark, mow my lawn.
He's good like in that movie. They're all funny movie. In that movie, man.
He was yeah. really good in that movie. Paula Patton, sorry if you, spoiler alert, 10 years later.
Again, this is an old movie.
Hey, man.
Well, I appreciate you saying that in case anyone is going to go check
like
out.
Y'all hadn't seen it before this.
Two Guns at their local right. library, so thank you.
Which you shouldn't do. You should like get to the 21st century and just get streaming and rent things online. But neither here nor there. Paula Patton gets offed in the movie yeah. as the love interest who mm-hmm. turned like she was like two-time Denzel. So they were both secret agents or they worked for like the not the D, it was the DEA.
DEA, yeah.
Denzel worked for the DEA.
And she also worked for the DEA, but she was dirty. And she okay. worked with the naval captain dude who
Quince.
The dude who played yeah, Quince, who played Cyclops.
James Marsden.
Who played Cyclops in X-Men. Bad guy. And they were also seeing each other on the side. So Denzel yes. thought he was the only one, and she's seeing this man on the side. It was a good turn, though. I didn't expect that from her.
Yeah, and James Marsden, can I say, has like I think he's made a career of having a handsome, punchable face.
Yes,
like yeah, he is yeah. both handsome, but not like Tom Cruise leading man handsome, like something sinister.
You
punchable
piss
face
me face. Off, handsome. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. How dare you be so good yeah. looking?
Yes,
how that's punch you in the face.
It's kind of smug too. Like you know, I look good. It's
yeah. Yes. yes, it is that.
Even on 30 Rock, it was kind of like that. Yeah.
Yeah. That's his role. But you know what? Props to him. That man literally looked himself in the mirror and he's like, I'm the handsome, punchable face guy. And that's who I'll be in all the movies. You know what I mean?
Like, I will happily take your millions for it.
Take your yes, millions.
Absolutely.
Yes. I read that Denzel's made around $300 million. That's his net worth. Okay. That seems low for Denzel, right?
Yeah,
I bet you that's
the thing is though, made. Like, the people that make money in Hollywood though are the people like Jack Black does the voice of Kung Fu Panda, or Mike Myers does the voice of Shrek, and then those animated movies,
the royalties,
is where you really make the money in Hollywood.
Denzel like
doesn't do stuff like that. Denzel's never been money. Like Denzel. Denzel's not been like Iron Man. Or something. He's not been in like the series of Avengers movies. Or
no,
something
he's like in ahead, series Russ. Movies, and he doesn't make sequels, which is why Equalizer was such a big deal because he'd never done a movie that had a sequel until the Equalizer. And so, I also think time value of money plays into it because when Denzel started acting, it was in the '80s, right? '80s, '90s, 2000s, and he was in all those years the highest paid actor in Hollywood. So I think whereas now that title probably goes to somebody else, but he was that person during his 30-year run of being the best actor in Hollywood. You know what I mean?
I think he's the first famous person that was not in sports that I ever interviewed. He was filming briefly. When I say interviewed, it isn't like we sat down and it was an hour or something like that. But
walked through Central Park with some voiceover.
Right, right. He was filming a movie in New Orleans when I was in school, and I was covering an NBA game down there, and he was courtside, and he did like maybe 3 minutes with me and another one or two other people or something like that to talk about the movie.
That's cool. That's a big celebrity get.
He seriously, my dad didn't meet him, but him and my dad were at an event recently. He was, he's very seriously involved, both of them, Denzel Washington and my dad, in Boys and Girls Club of America.
Yeah.
And he was here. He was in my dad's town, South Elgin, Illinois, to help open the Boys and Girls Club that just opened here.
Yeah, he was a big spokesman for that. I remember hearing him do commercials for them over the years.
But he's like legit about it. He's not just sticking his name on it. He's really actually
he's a real one.
Like showing
he's
up.
A real one. Real one.
Yes, there you go. Denzel Washington, a real one. All right, let's do the news. Our long national nightmare is finally over. Larsa Pippen and Marcus Jordan officially done. It's been rumored since February, but now TMZ reports it is done. I wish we had Tony here for this because I'm sure he's probably celebrating privately. But Russ, the floor is yours, sir.
I think me and Tone called this back when they first started dating. I don't know how long she has left of this. And I'm not going to say what this is, but y'all know what this is. That's it.
Yeah, that was eloquent. That was to the point. It was poignant. That was well said, Russell.
It's too much for me to call her No Tip and Pippin from now on.
Oh, man.
One of my favorite parts of this saga has been just throughout. It's been that Michael Jordan voiced objection to this, of course, because we all have. And
absolutely.
Marcus brushed it aside as he was just joking. Michael's just joking. Nah, I don't think he's just joking. Also, if you saw The Last Dance or I don't know anything involving him I don't think Michael Jordan like jokes around that much. I don't think it'd be a good assumption that he's kidding. I could picture imagine if you were like started dating like your like someone who babysat you when you were in middle school and your dad came out on Twitter and was like, I don't think this is a good idea. And then you come out here and you're like,
nah, my
dad's a funny guy. You know, he's just joking around. He thinks it's cool. I'm dating one of his friends.
And then he comes back. I was not kidding. This was not a joke.
Carlos, Dr. Dre finally got his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame this week. Well deserved. Okay. He's a 7-time Grammy winner. He got the Lifetime Achievement Award as well. Ceremony was attended by fellow stars Eminem, Snoop Dogg, 50 Cent, and others. Snoop Dogg gave a speech or an introduction or whatever you want to call it there and said, this is very touching, actually. He said, quote, Dre is the greatest partner, friend, ally you could possibly have. For all you people out there that are aspiring to get into entertainment, when you go to bed tonight, pray that you meet a Dr. Dre.
Wow. That guy, clearly Dr. Dre was a real one to him throughout his life.
What do you think would be like the biggest part of Dr. Dre's legacy?
I'm surprised. I thought, you're going to laugh, but I thought the Hollywood Walk of Fame was for TV stars. And I don't immediately think of him as like,
I think it's like entertainers, which I'm sure by the end of it is going to end up including like YouTube influencers and things like that. But I think it's like anyone that is in entertainment.
Right. I don't know. I mean, for me, it's like, it's just those first few chords of Still Dre, you know, like, which were actually recorded down in Miami, down in Miami Beach. And it's like from that, for me, that's like when, you know, he had an over before that. But for me, it's like that's when I think of Dre, I always think of that besides him producing other people's great work throughout the years. But yeah, still Dre, always Dre. And now forever.
He put together probably the best. I don't know if you'd rank how you rank them all, but like he put together one of the best Super Bowl halftime shows that we've seen in a long time and did it in L.A. And he started Beats. So he's, you know, this is I will remember him. And this is maybe more, you know, me thinking as a journalist. To me, a big part of his legacy is like, you know, billionaire businessman. Like the guy has been incredibly successful, like well beyond what his specialty is.
Right. I think that's what kind of makes him, I think at this point, iconic, is you went beyond what you were known in your craft for. And then you kind of like said, all right, I'm going to get the bag on this, you know, I'm going to get this bag. And he turned that into, he turned his name and fame and talent. He took it to another, you know, he kept building on it, which I think is great. Which, thinking about Denzel, like that's what we were talking about. Like his net worth has to be greater than those $300 million that whatever he might have made, because, or in other words, it could be like there's something about, but he clearly didn't trade on, he wasn't interested in like extracting the highest dollar for, you know, getting your, you know, your name out there in a certain way.
Putting yourself in a franchise or an animated thing or,
Yeah. And it's like, you know, people will respect both those guys for doing what felt true to the, to themselves, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And finally, a man in upstate New York has been keeping a 750-pound alligator at his home since the 1990s. This is a story from the Associated Press. Police, the reason we know about it is because, shockingly, something bad has happened.
Something went wrong.
Nothing too terrible has happened, but the alligator, we know about this because the alligator was basically confiscated. Police in Hamburg, New York, seized an 11-foot, 750-pound alligator that was being kept in a swimming pool. Hamburg, New York is just south of Buffalo. Maybe, oh my I don't know God. If they count it as the suburbs of Buffalo, but you are basically keeping this gigantic 30-year-old alligator in a swimming pool in upstate New York.
That had to be the most miserable alligator in history. Could you imagine? Like I, you know, like think about how cold it gets in Buffalo. Now you're an alligator. Yeah. That was not a happy existence for that animal.
I'm not sure the exact details of how the alligator was kept, because the owner, Tom Cavallaro, built an in-ground pool and an addition to his house to maintain the alligator. So it's possible, you know, this wasn't spelled out in the AP story that I read. It's possible that pool is indoor and a little more climate controlled, but either way, that's not where that alligator has ever intended or been intended to live.
Yeah. And, I feel like there's a Florida connection to this story that has not been explored. I'm almost certain that there is.
It's possible. Just a good theory. That's also not in the AP story, but so Tom Cavallaro has had this alligator, 750-pound alligator. He's had this in his possession since the 90s, and he's had it in a swimming pool and has allowed, you know, neighbors and kids to swim with it in the pool.
Oh, that's not a good move. That's not a
– It doesn't
– Why would
it
you
doesn't
do
seem
that?
Like it. I people are always like, you know, anytime their dog bites someone, they're like, oh, he's never – Sparky's never done that before. He's never done – you know, until they do.
It's
and
amazing.
I feel like I can picture the same thing. I can picture him saying this about the alligator. Oh, he doesn't bite. He doesn't bite. Until he does. He is an animal.
Yeah. Right. Like, oh, when they said, oh, the alligator went crazy. No, the alligator went alligator. Like,
right.
That's
it
just
did what it does. Right.
Right. Yeah. Right.
That would be reported much differently in the alligator community as alligator does its thing, has great day.
Exactly. Planes land safely, you know, at the at the airport.
Tom Cavallaro's license to house this gator expired in 2021 when the state of New York determined that the holding area was unsafe, but they did not remove the alligator at that time. They've removed it recently after, quote, learning the extent at which the owner was seriously endangering the public, end quote, which I believe you could interpret as somebody snitched.
Yeah. Which, and it's amazing. But you and I are driving down the street and we're going, you know, 8 miles above the speed limit, and you will get a ticket immediately. But apparently you can have an illegal alligator out of your house without a permit for an extra year, and everything is fine. So I think it's, again, it's what we were talking about the other episode about levels of crime. Might as well go big. Have an alligator at your house. Right. Have a petting zoo. Have people come over and swim with
not
your
just
alligator.
A gecko. Yeah. I wonder if he was charging people to come swim with the alligator.
Come on. 100%.
I will say my general philosophy is don't get involved. Like, I don't need to interfere with somebody else's life. If I'm like, you know, why do you have a llama in your backyard? Unless it's like affecting me, I don't need to get involved. Let it go.
Yeah.
I might be justified snitching in this case. When your neighbor's got a giant 750-pound alligator in a pool, I think you're kind of okay to call the cops on that one.
Yeah, I think that's That is, as the kids say, out of pocket. Out of pocket. Or we might have
said, okay to not want that in your neighborhood.
Yeah.
Like the alligator.
Take it out.
The alligator is blind in both eyes. Okay. It has spinal complications and other health issues. So beyond the fact that it lives in upstate New York, it seems like this alligator would not be very happy.
Yeah, I feel bad for the alligator. I'll be honest. It didn't ask for that. It didn't ask for the best thing that happened to it. I hope that it gets to live, because sometimes those alligators, they euthanize them.
That's the plan right now, for it to live. The plan is it has been taken into temporary care, and they're going to try to find a place for it that is equipped for this, not Tom Cavallaro's swimming pool. And hopefully the alligator will be all right. Tom Cavallaro, though, not going down without a fight, says that he has cared for this alligator like a child, and he will work to try to get it back.
Has anyone checked whether his children are blind and have spinal issues? Just saying.
That's the news. Carlos, man, thanks for being on with us the last four episodes. I think that I know we've enjoyed it. Everything I've heard from people, our audience has enjoyed it, and it seems like you've had fun too.
Yeah, it's been great, man. It's been great to hang out with you guys for an hour and do jokes and hang out and get to know you dudes and have a great time. So, and to stay busy, to keep myself sharp and engaged with folks, doing the journalism. So I appreciate it. It's been a lot of fun.
You've been a great addition, and hopefully we'll be having you back down the road. Sports Adjacent is brought to you by Sheets and Giggles, and you really need to sleep on your Sheets and Giggles, man.
I'm going to get on it. I'm physically and literally going to get on it.
Vacation or not, this is egregious. You've had this for too long not to have slept in your Sheets and Giggles yet. You need to get on this. And anyone that has ordered from them would tell you the same thing. Sports Adjacent is brought to you by Sheets and Giggles. Go to sheetsgiggles.com/SA and get an extra 10% off for our listeners on top of their sleep month sale for the month of March, which is already a good deal. They have different sales throughout the month, so I'm not going to spell it all out here, but whatever the sale of the day is when you get on there, you can get an extra 10% off. If you either use promo code sports or you go to sheetsgiggles.com/SA, then they'll automatically apply the discount at checkout. You don't even have to do anything. Go to Sheets and Giggles, get some really good stuff, upgrade your bed, just like all of us have. Sports Jason is also brought to you by BetMGM. You can go to betmgm.com or download the BetMGM app and get this offer. Your first bet with BetMGM gets paid back in free future betting credits up to $1,500 if you don't win. So a simpler way of putting that is like find something that you want to bet on there, bet on it, and if you win, awesome, enjoy your money. If you don't, they'll give you free future betting credits to give it another shot, up to $1,500. You can bet on the NCAA tournament there. You can bet on hockey, basketball. We're about to have the playoffs pretty soon in those sports, and baseball will be underway by the end of the month. Use our promo code adjacent1000 to get that deal. BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. Now what, Carlos? What are you going to do now? You've been with us for the last four episodes. Where are you going from here?
I'm going to Disney World. Oh no! Sorry.
Okay, perfect.
I didn't say that yet? No. I am going to go pick up my kid from school and watch her play some lacrosse. That's what I'm doing today.
Look at this. And talk show that, host, podcast guest, parent. He does it all.
That's it. I'm not sure what's in the cards for me yet, but it'll be journalism adjacent.
Okay.
If not journalism.
Are you going to start a podcast named that?
Only if it's on the network, the Sports Adjacent Network, then perhaps.
I know that you guys have all enjoyed Carlos. Russ had to duck out of here, and he has told me many times how much he's enjoyed having you on. Russ's dad, I don't think you were on this. Russ's dad DM'd us to tell us how much he has enjoyed hearing you on here, Carlos.
That's great.
But it's been really great for me because you've been a great friend for a long time. You've been, I don't want to say a mentor because that makes you sound old. And I don't think you're actually that old or that much older than me, but somebody that I have looked up to as a person and as a writer for a long time. You are an incredible talent, and it's been awesome to have you on here, man.
Well, it's been great for me, bro. You're my bro. You're my buddy. And as a colleague, one of the best. So I'm always happy for your success and to see what you're doing next.
Thank you. And we appreciate you guys for listening. We will see you next week.
Thanks for listening to Sports Adjacent with Jason Leisure and Russell Dorsey. Be sure to download, subscribe, and give the podcast 5 stars. You can check out the latest episode of Sports Adjacent on all digital streaming platforms.
I'm very much adjacent. For a couple hours, I thought I was hood. But then all that happened, I was like, you know what, James? You adjacent to the mother.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.